Hallelujah. God is what? Faithful. Let me just share that before we go into this topic. You see, as I'm growing spiritually, as you grow spiritually, your language to change. It shows that you're having light. Amen? When you receive light, your life should not remain the same. Things should be changing, and the change should be progressive, not regressive, progressive. Amen? Now, as I'm growing, I'm thinking, oh, God is, you know, we say God has been faithful to me. Yeah? Have you ever said that? Come on, put up your hands. You said God has been faithful to me. I expect everyone. Amen? It's not bad. At your level, it's not bad. I just want to share you more light. God's faithfulness is not what he does. It's who he is. Amen? Can you just help me say God's faithfulness is not what he does. It's who he is. For example, when you say God loves me, he does. But he loves every other person. Because God is what? But God so loved who? The world of sinners. Amen? God is faithful. That's his character. Amen? Whether I'm experiencing the faithfulness of God or not, God is. Amen? So I want to change. I want to say God has been faithful to me. You know what I'll say? I'll say I have experienced the faithfulness of God. Amen? You're still saying the same thing, but in a different way. We have experienced, God is faithful, irrespective of what's happening to me. But you can experience the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. And what you want to do all your life is to continue to experience the faithfulness of God. Because whether you experience it or not, God is faithful. Hebrews 11 says, therefore, without faith, it is what? That's how you experience the faithfulness of God. How do you experience the faithfulness of God? You need faith. Amen. He said, because whoever comes to God, yeah, you have to come with the right attitude. If you have a wrong attitude, you will not constantly experience the faithfulness of God. Because just like you don't like to be maltreated, God does not like to be what? He doesn't. Amen? He loves you. But you please him by doing his will. See, when you're not doing his will, he still loves you. But he's not pleased. Is there anyone who is coming to God must what? Must believe that God is for real. You see, every time you treat God shabbily, you don't believe that he's for real. The money you are pursuing is more real to you. Yeah, your dressing, your presentation is more real to you. The affirmation you are receiving from your friends or family is more real to you. That's why you are giving it more attention. But when you come to God, you must believe what? That he is for real. When you believe that God is for real, you don't give him a wrong attitude. You give him the best what? Attitude. Now follow it. He said, he is a rewarder of those who diligent. What does that tell you about laziness? When you are lazy in your attitude and approach to God, what happens? It affects your reward. I'm not talking about your reward in heaven. I'm talking about when you how to experience the faithfulness of God on earth. Amen. If I want to continuously experience the faithfulness of God, I must come to God with an attitude that is for real. And he will reward me when I give him my best. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is the foundation. Love is what? Can I have someone to read for me today? Is my volunteer. You'll be holding the mic all through. Yeah? Yeah, I'll take another one because, you know. Any other person? You'll be holding the mic all through if you volunteer it. Please, ready? Come on, Sister Pinky. God bless you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. The foundation of love.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. if I could speak all the languages of earth and of an angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal?
Cymbal,
yeah. Yes.
What version is that, please?
New Living.
Okay, go on, please.
If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and processed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body. I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing.
Amen. 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 Now, someone beside you can give me New King James Version. So just to give you another depth. So New Living is good because the English is simplified. But sometimes it's so diluted you could lose some meaning. I'll show you some meaning that's been lost. You know, it's beautiful. I like the simple English. But I want to show you some meaning that's been lost from moving from King James to New Living. Yes? Someone beside you. So, yeah. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3.
Sorry, Pastor, having technical difficulties.
Sorry?
Having technical
difficulties. No problem. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal.
Just pause. Do you know what a sounding brass is or a clanging cymbal? I've ever seen the drum set. When you take that crash cymbal. Is that a crash cymbal, sir? And you bang it. It makes a lot of noise. Yeah? I want to ask a question. What's the difference between having love and loving others? King James says, if I do this and I don't have love, I'm a sounding brass. But New Living says, if I don't love others, what's the difference between them? What's the similarity? Come on, church. Yes, who's ready to go? King James says, if I don't have love, I am nothing. But New Living says, if I don't love others, I am nothing. Youngest.
You can have love, but not love others.
Is it possible?
Yes.
To have love and not love others. Okay, let's keep thinking about it. Go, don't change your answer.
Having love is the ability to love others. Whereas if you love others, it's like the application of.
Okay. Let me just. Any other person? The answers are good. The answers are good. I'm just making you think. The difference between having love and loving others. They are similar. They are related. No doubt. It's just that something has been left out by saying loving others rather than saying having love. Let me go there. I'm going to go. Yeah, it's okay. I hold it.
Okay. Yeah, so I think having love is, regardless of the situation or the people involved, you love.
Mm-hmm.
Then loving others is kind of conditional.
Okay.
So you don't freely, it's like you having a choice towards who you show the love to.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's good. That's good. One more person. Don't change your answer. let me go this way. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. The one says, if I don't love others, I'm nothing. They are related. No doubt. You cannot separate them. Okay, yes, I forgot.
if you don't have love in you, you don't have the love of the Father within you. Therefore, you cannot love others. And without love, again, you can't. It proves that you don't have the love of the Father, and you need to. Bible even says in that you need to love one another. So love your brothers and sisters.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Let me show you two problems with that change of translation. One is that having love is not just only about loving others. It involves loving God. Amen? If you thought that the love we're talking about is just about other people that you can see, you have a problem. The foundation of love is God himself. And like you said, like quite a few people said it, the love that will help you, that will enable you to genuinely love others is the love of God. Because human love is based on reason and emotion. You cook me a nice meal, you sent me a nice meal, I will love you. So long as I can keep getting every week. Every time I try to do something to you, you are mean to me. I won't love you. Yeah? It's an error to think that the love of God is just about loving others. It's an overflow. Amen? The love of God in me must start with me loving God. Amen? That is the error between someone saying, so, you know, I need to give to charity. And they don't understand that they need to give to church first. Because the charity started with church. Historically, it's the church that is behind what? Charity. In fact, actually, if you're reading King James, it calls love what? Charity. If you cannot give to God, and you cannot give to the body of Christ, which is the church of God, and you think you can give to others, you are deceiving yourself. Hallelujah. Remember the story in the Bible, there was a woman that came to Jesus, and she was using her hair to, you know, her tears and her hair to clean, wipe his leg. And obviously there were two cases. Well, this case, it was Judas. Judas was like, oh. And then she took perfume and poured it all over Jesus' leg. I was like, Jesus was like, oh, what a waste. This perfume could have, expensive perfume, it could have been sold and used to feed the poor. What did you just say back? Come on, help. You know the story. What did you say back? What was the plan of Jesus? Nobody. Like, I'm not going to tell you the answers. Google it. That's what you'll be using your Google for. Expensive perfume, woman and Jesus. You'll find it. And Judas. Just type in expensive perfume, woman, Jesus, Judas. Amen? Who is fast there? Who is a good... What did Jesus say to Judas? And the Bible now tells us, he said, Judas said it's not because he loved the poor, but because he kept the bag. See? There was a selfish motive. Even in people giving to charity, there are people that have selfish what? Motive. Your selfish motive could be like so that you'll be recognized. So that it can be said, you also did something. Yes, who has the answer to that? Come on, church. You can do better.
It's John 12, and then it's verse 7. Jesus replied, saying,
Yes, go on, please. He said the perfume should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Mm-hmm. So what did Jesus reply?
Jesus said, let her alone.
Leave her alone. Continue.
She has kept this for the day of my burial.
Mm-hmm.
For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always.
Amen. Can you see that? Can you see that giving to the Lord is a higher priority than giving to the poor? I'm reading to you the Bible. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't give to the poor. But your giving to the poor is an overflow of your giving to the Lord. Your love for others is an overflow of your love for the Lord. Because the foundation of love is who? God. You don't get to define it with your head. You will miss it. You see, because in your head, you know what is in your head? Your soul. Your soul lives inside your head. And you know what's in your soul? Your mind. Your emotions. You know what's in your mind? Reasoning. So when you are trying to love others with your head, you are going to love them based on how you feel or how you think. And what people do to you affects how you feel and how you what? Think. So that love you have is imperfect. It will fail you. I was reading the news, and then they quoted Mike Tyson. Anybody know Mike Tyson? He has a favorite quote. He said, he talks about his opponent. He said, everyone has a plan until they are punched in the face. Now, I mean, it's quite a crude statement, but think about it. You know, you can be loving others until you are hit where it hurts. Then the flesh in you will come out. Because I want to tell you, just in case you forgot it, you are living inside what? The flesh. Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Till you leave this world, you are not above temptation. The Bible says anyone that thinks he's standing, what do you do? Take it. Pay attention. Don't play about. Don't play around in danger zone. Amen? Don't do what? If you see danger, what should you do? Flee. Skip away. Don't play. Don't say, I'm strong. I'm the pastor. Amen? And even if you think you're okay, and somebody's coming to you and say, watch out. Pastor, I want you to watch out. Don't say, I'm okay. Pay attention. There are things you are not seeing that somebody beside you is saying. Pay attention. It may save your destiny. Amen? So, if I speak in the tongues of men, yeah, that means that as I'm not here now, I'm speaking in tongues. Okay, you don't understand that. What if I'm speaking Brazilian or Belgian French? What will you do? You'll be wondering what happened to me overnight. Yeah? The tongue of angels is the one you don't understand. But the tongues of men, you understand it. You see the difference? But in both cases, I'm doing it supernaturally. Not by translation. Not by, you know, going to study in school. If I give my body to be burned, imagine. How can somebody give their body to be burned and not have love? Somebody explain. What can they have? Obviously, they give their body to be burned. Why would someone even give their body to be burned? Well, we have, for example, Islamic extremists that blow up themselves up. Is that not giving your body to be burned? Yeah? Why would someone give their body to be burned and not have love? Think about it. It's like it looks like the ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? Yes?
Because of pride and...
Pride?
They'd want to be able to boast about it.
Boast about it, to be like an hero? Yes? Any other reason? Why someone would give their body to be burned but not have love? Wait, they may love their countrymen. Someone can give their body or blow themselves because they love their countrymen. They do it to protest. And they call that love. It's my love for my kinsmen. Yes?
Being misdirected.
Being misdirected. Someone said, look, if you blow your... I'm not talking to you. You blow your body up, you have 70 virgins. What did Jesus tell you? He said in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. You see the deception there? When they blow themselves up, they are landing straight into hell. There are no virgins in heaven. It's just fire and torment and suffering. Amen? They are misdirected. But I'm just trying to say that sometimes people can do things because they have a human love. Yeah? So it's my sister. It's my blood sister. It's my blood brother. I would do anything for him. It's love. You call it love, isn't it? But that's not Bible love. And that's why I said, loving others is not deep enough. The foundation of love is what? Is who? Is God. And the real love that I can have for others must start from my love for God. And I could not even love God sufficiently in my power. The only way is to receive his love. Then let it flow through me. Amen? Let me ask a question just to engage you. I've taught you, but let's just say that. So now I want you to define for me, based on all I said, what is the God kind of love? I need a definition. I've given you all the clues. Yes, anyone? Someone came to you, a new Christian. They asked you, oh, Sister Amanda, I like the way you are presenting. You look very loving. Please explain to me, what is the God kind of love? And how is that different from human love? I'm not saying you should say anything, okay? Go on, camera, go on. Think about it.
Selfless.
It's selfless. Yes, I take that. It's selfless love. Should we say that? Selfless love. Yes. God kind of love. What is the God kind of love? She's keeping her busy, yeah? She's keeping her busy. Both of them. She's keeping her busy and she's keeping her busy.
Unconditional.
Unconditional. Yes?
He will love you whether you sin or you don't sin.
Yes, that's unconditional. Yes. But that doesn't mean he won't punish you for sinning. You see, I will explain that part very clearly. Yes?
It's a powerful love.
Powerful. Yes, I agree. Any other one? Can you define for me the God kind? I'm looking for a definition, by the way. You are giving me characteristics I accept. But can you give me a definition? Like, I need a statement. A statement of, you know, the God kind of love. Give me a statement that defines it. Anyone? Come on, church. You've tried. Okay, let me move on. Yeah? Are you going to say something? Yeah, I take you. Why not? Yeah, it's okay. I heard it.
Definition.
Yeah.
A love that is selfless and unconditional.
Yes. That's very smart. Please put your hands together for him. Just encourage him. Amen. Now, when you say God's love is selfless, I accept. It is. When you say God's love is unconditional, it's true, but I wouldn't like to use it because I think that word causes a lot of misunderstanding. You go somewhere and preach and say, look, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. God loves you anyway. So what do they think? They say, well, God loves me. That's fine. I'll keep doing what I'm doing. Hello? Someone is mean and harsh and stingy. But you preach it and say, God's love is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you're doing. God loves you. You've not helped them. They will continue. And they will tell you that God loves me. He will tell you it's amazing grace. Hallelujah. So it's right. If you look at it in the depth of the word, unconditional is correct. But in our hearing, in our practice, we misunderstand and misuse it. And that's why we don't use it. So let me define for you the God kind of my definition. It's a love that flows from God. The God kind of love is a love that what? It flows from God. If you remove God out of it, it's no longer the God kind. You cannot practice the God kind of love consistently without being connected to that flow. Your flesh cannot handle it. Your flesh cannot handle the love of God on its own. The flesh always moves towards selfishness. Always. Every human being is selfish. They're just in varying degrees. Some score 99% and some score 10%. Now, I didn't finish the definition. The love, God kind of love is the love that flows from God and is the love that flows through the enlightened heart. Let me just explain the second part. You see, the love of God cannot flow to your heart if it's not enlightened. Because you will resist it. Hello? Your heart. Now, for example, someone is not born again. They cannot understand the love of God. They can know that God is loving, but they can't understand it. For the love of God to be able to flow through your heart. So basically, the love is coming from God. It's flowing through you to others. The source of that love is God. The guarantee that that love will flow through you is your connection. Yeah? And your enlightenment. That's why we are teaching about love. Because this teaching will enlighten you. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, 5. Yes, let's have someone who has not spoken today. Romans 5, 5. Someone who has not... Yes, I was going to say youth. Let's go to the youth. Do you have a mic with you? Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Sharon. Romans 5, 5. Please, follow in your Bible. Romans 5, 5. Yeah, we can take it. We can take it from New Living and New King James both. We can take both. You see, I don't hate New Living. It's just that when it's not going deep enough, I point you back to the depth. Yeah? But I also use it because you also need that simpler English. So just to remember to combine them with other, particularly King James or New King James. Go on, please.
Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Amen. Where does the love of God come from? Where does the love of God come from? From God. Yeah? The Holy Spirit is God, isn't it? So how do you receive the love of God? How? The Holy Spirit pours it out in your heart. Amen? Yes, I'll take your question. So let's remember that's where it starts from. The love of God. Starts from God. It flows from God. And when you got born again, the Holy Spirit poured that love into you. If you have never received that love upon your heart, you are not born again. You see, when you are truly born again, it's love that comes in. You love God. At least the moment you got born again, the day you got born again, you find out that you love God and you love people. I don't know about now. The love of God is what made your heart tender. You know, maybe before you got born again, your heart was hard. Yeah? It was vengeful, bitter. But when the Holy Spirit came in, he spread it around your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I state the question? Go on.
Are you saying that if you're not a born again Christian, you can't access or understand God's love?
Yes, you can't. You can access it. You can access it, but you can't understand it. Amen? You can access it. Every day. Remember we said that God's love is selfless. God loves both the believer and the unbeliever. But that doesn't mean that the unbeliever will go to heaven. Yeah? You can access every day of your life, you're accessing God's love. When you went to the barber salon, and they gave you a nice haircut. Yeah? God's love made that possible. Because I've been to the barber salon. And as the barber was cutting my hair. And he was about to use the blade on me. For whatever reason, he put the blade in the wrong place. And it cut straight into his finger. And it could have been me. Are you with me? It bled for the next 30 to 1 hour. No, I'm just saying that everything that goes well in your life is the mercy of God. Yeah, what happened? It's not God that made it happen. It's a human error. He didn't pay attention to put the blade. Actually, I remember what happened now. The shaver was magnetic. So it picked up an old blade that should have been disposed. He was not aware. And once he tried to use it, he went in. So it's not God that caused that. Is it God? But I'm just saying that the mercy of God. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. You can open your Bible. Open it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Lamentations. We're going to Audrey. Lamentations 3, 22. So next time, yeah, you are doing things you normally do, which you take for granted, remember that it's the mercy of God. Yeah? It's the mercy of God. There are many things that could have gone wrong that are not going wrong. It's the mercy of God. Some do go wrong, of course. But I say that if God gave you what you deserve, so basically what I'm saying is that God said, okay, fine, you have a good brain, you have a nice hairstyle, and you have an Apple Watch. I don't know who has an Apple Watch. So I'm going to leave you to cater your own life. I'll withdraw myself completely. You take sort it. Every day will be hell. Because something will go wrong, if not for His mercy. So His mercy is still being received. When the song comes out, did you work for it? It's His mercy. Amen? When the rain falls, it's His mercy. When the cold comes and the ice, and it's going so deep and then it fades, it's His mercy. Because if God withdrew Himself completely, all you're going to have is hell. Yes. Lamentations 3:22. The faithful love of the Lord never ends.
His mercy never ceases.
His mercy never what? Ceases. Yes.
Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning.
Amen. If you are reading that from King James, it says the steadfast love of the Lord never what? Ceases. And His mercies never come to an end. They are new. When? This applies to both believers and unbelievers. Some people slept and they did not wake up. Or you slept and you woke up. It's not because you deserved it. It's His mercy. Amen? Some people have gone through that terrible experience you went through. And they were broken. They could not pull it together again. But you've gone through it. And you are still standing. It's His mercy. Without His mercy, everybody should be broken. Hallelujah. Without His mercy, everybody should be what? Broken. Yes, let me take the question. I'm happy you are giving me questions. That's the way I love to teach most.
The mom passed away. So I've been pondering on this, been meaning to ask. So we got up and she was like, oh, you know what, PJ, I'm glad that my mom had a second chance, you know, gave her life to Christ before she passed on. She had cancer. But there was a statement she made that, but the pain was so unbearable and excruciating that the nurse that was working with her then, looking after her, she told them to, I think, to release mini doses of, how do I put it, to let her pink it, you know, to kind of not kill her immediately, so to say, that she wanted death to come early rather than wait for that to happen. So, but I didn't say anything, but in my head, I've been questioning ever since that, like, oh, she got that chance. She gave her life to Christ before she had the cancer. But the point in time, she was asking for assisted suicide, in quotes. That. So what would be her, I've been thinking, like, what would be her position right now? The fact that she was assisted.
That's a difficult question, isn't it? did you hear the question? It's just a question about, you know, people who, because of their pain and their misery, they are looking for assistance to die quickly. Yes? Anybody want to have a go on that? It's assisted dying a sin. Why is he a sin? I mean, let's wait. Should they continue in the pain? Someone is in terrible pain.
In the Bible, they say that everybody needs to carry their own cost. So maybe her pain was her cost.
Okay. Any other person who disagrees? Let's look for the other view. It's okay. It's not so simple. This is not a difficult question, but I need to answer it. I can't run away from it. A different view. Come on, I need a different view. Why? Yes, go on.
So, for the believer, if it was a believer, we know that in Galatians, Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, our lives do not belong to us. Our body does not belong to us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But for the unbeliever, as we were talking about mercy, God has mercy upon everyone. But even for the believer, death isn't in their hands. Life isn't in their hands. So it's still a sin. So they shouldn't be able to kill themselves.
Okay. So, Holy Spirit, help me. So what I would say is this. We need to understand that you are not the owner of your life. Yeah? So you don't have a right to take it, except if you are not in your normal senses. Yeah? You see? Now, if you are not in a normal sense, then you cannot be guilty under the law. By the way, I want you to go back to the story of Cain and Abel. I want you to read it very clearly. If you do, you will see that Cain was not in his right senses when he killed Abel. The devil was the one behind. He opened the door, no doubt, but the devil took over him. That's why God told him, he said, what have you done? And that's why God did not kill him. He was sent on exile. That would be the punishment for manslaughter. Because the punishment for murder in the Bible, under the law, is death. Amen? So, but if you are in your senses, you don't have a right to take a life that you cannot create. But you have a right to manage your pain. Amen? You have a right to manage your pain. Do you get what I mean? You have a right to take a medicine that will help you manage what? Your pain. Are you with me? No. So we have to separate. Death is not necessarily the end of pain. If you don't know God, death is the beginning of serious torment. So the problem is you are lumping it together. If there's a pain problem, receive medicine to manage the pain. Yeah? But the life is not yours to take. Yeah? Except if you are not in your senses. I hope that's good enough for you. Yeah? Good. Amen. Let's go back to where we are. I know as I'm talking, somebody is still thinking about it. What is the God kind of love? It's a love that flows from God. And it flows through the enlightened heart. Now, if you are born again, yeah, light has come into your heart. Say, just say, because I'm born again, light has come in to my heart. Hallelujah. You see, but you don't want to be like a closed tap. You know the closed taps you have all around us? There's water in them. There's water. Say there's water inside the closed tap. At least if you're in the UK. I have had experiences in some other countries where, you know, you open the tap and nothing's coming out. Amen. If you are born again, you have love inside your spirit. Say, just say, I have love inside my spirit. You know why? Because the fruit of the spirit is what? It's love. Galatians 5:22. You have it. But don't be what? A closed tap. It has to flow. And it can't flow if you don't open it. Question. I've gone off my notes, but that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. How do you open the tap of your heart or your spirit so that love can flow? Yes, come on, help me. I'm not talking about the love that comes from your head. You've been living that one all your life. You love your friends and you hate your... to be born again to do that. But I'm talking about the selfless kind of love. And later on, I'll still tell you many of the characteristics of love. It's not just selfless. I'll show you other. So how can you allow God's love that has been poured in your heart by the Holy Spirit? This is already done. It's already done, otherwise you are not born again. If you don't have love inside your spirit, you are not born again. That's why the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, it's what? Love has come in. Love has come in. Because God is love. But how that tap is closed? How do you open the tap of your heart so that God's love can flow? And then let me ask another question. What are the things that causes that tap to go? Some of you have experienced it that sometimes before you've had that tap open. And you know, when you open the tap, it's not just switch on and off. Is it a switch on and off? One moment, no water. The next moment, water fall. No? What happens when you open the tap? Someone help me. We're doing some water engineering.
Regulate the temperature.
Yes. Look, forget about temperature now. Assume you're guarding tap. Okay? Just one tap. So, what happens when you're opening a tap?
What happens?
Yeah. Is it like, how do you go to? Just describe. What do you do?
So you...
Physically.
You turn...
You what?
You turn the...
You turn! Come on. Yeah, I'm enjoying you.
You turn the tap.
You turn it. Then, does it open immediately?
No, so you have to wait for the water to flow.
Thank you. Then how do you ensure that it keeps flowing?
It depends. If you keep it open. Or
And if you want it to stop flowing, what do you do?
You just close the tap.
You just go to your reverse. Yeah. Reverse. It's a reverse turn. Amen? Now, let's now take it to real life. Linking spiritual with physical. How do we open the taps of our heart in this real world so that the love of God can flow? In the reverse, how do we close the taps of our heart so that the love of God starts flowing? And again, sometimes it's not even immediate flowing. You are reducing it or you are increasing it. You can. That is not in God's hands. It's in your hands. Yes, let's go for strategy first then. Cameron?
You can put that when you are talking.
I think it's important that we confess the love, because oftentimes when you love someone or you've shown love towards them and time again, they've kind of, you know, hurt you repeatedly, and you get to a point that maybe it leaves like a wound in your heart. But because you know you're a Christian, even when you don't feel it, you physically confess that I love this person, you know, regardless of what they've done to me, I love. And before you realize it, what you're saying, you start actualizing it, and you let go of every hurt you feel towards them.
Amen. So confession of your identity matters. For example, when I am struggling to release love, I have to open my mouth and say, I have the love of God inside me. If you don't do that, you can't open that up. Because it's now your head versus your spirit, your heart. Or it's now your soul versus what? Your spirit. Amen? Yes, let me take your answer, and I want to say something that I picked up. Go on.
I think you need to submit yourself, yield yourself, and be open to receive. And your heart needs to be in the position where you're able to receive, where God's love can flow through you.
Amen. You need to put God back at the center. Every time you are struggling to open the tap, you have turned your attention away. What I mean is that you still love God. But God is no longer at the center. He's no longer your motivation. When God is my motivation, I can open the tap. But when self rises above God, I will struggle. That's why I will teach this later, but I want to mention it today. That's why I find that in my experience, even in my current experience, you can't really love, walk in the love of God without humility. You must humble yourself. Because once self is exalted above God, you will struggle to open that up. You are still a Christian, you are still born again, but you will struggle. It applies to all of us. No one's exempt. We are all going through, you know, different things. And maybe also I should mention also that the first step to opening the tap of love in you is faith. Because faith points the attention back to God. It's not feelings that will make you open that tap. And it's not reason. What is it? Faith. Now let me just quickly say this and we'll round up there. And then we'll continue next week. One of our sisters said something about a wounded heart. This is very deep. So just open, pay attention. It will really bless you. No matter how somebody hurts you, yeah, that hurt is sitting in your soul. Because your soul is the center of your emotions and your reasons. Your soul is the center of your memory. Your mind is there. Yeah? No one can wound your heart directly. But your heart can be wounded. I will show you now. What the Bible says that Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. It said the word of God helps us to divide between the soul and the spirit. And sometimes your breakthrough will not come until you divide between the soul and the spirit. The ought that anybody gives to you, where is it? In your soul. Because your soul is where your emotions are, and your feelings, and your reasons, and your memory. Now, how does somebody hurting you in your soul move to your wounding you in your heart? This is a 5-pound question. Anybody? Somebody has hurt you, or they are repeatedly hurting you. You are actually hurting in your soul because that's where your emotions are, your feelings and your reasons and your memory. But how does that move up, move from your soul to your spirit? What do you need to do, or where do you need to be, that the hurt in your soul becomes a wound in your heart?
You need to forgive. Keep forgiving.
Sister. 5 pounds. The hurt in your soul becomes a wound in your heart when you are offended. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. These are spiritual things. Your heart is your spirit. It takes a spiritual thing to wound your heart. Now let me tell you something else. I said at the beginning, this is deep. God does not heal your heart. He heals what? Your soul. Your soul can be broken. Your mind can be broken. He can heal it, just like he can heal your body. What does God do to your heart? How does God help you in your heart? I want to show you the key to overcoming wounds in your heart. How does God help you in your heart? We said that communion. What does God do to your heart? Your heart is your spirit. What does God do to your heart? Come on, you know it. Think about communion. Think about the blood. What does God do to your heart? The first thing he does to your heart is that he saves, you know, he redeems you. Yeah? And you are born again. But now you are born again and your heart is wounded. So how does God help you? Yeah. You don't overcome a wounded heart without repentance. Open your Bible, and we'll finish there. Open your Bible. I'm showing you a key. You will not hear it from a psychologist. A psychologist and a counselor will tell you, everyone is wrong. Only you are right. So what we need to do now is separate you from them. I'm showing you principle that in your heart, God does not heal your heart. He heals your soul. Or another word for eating your soul, it saves your soul. Yeah? He said, you know, receive with meekness the word of God, which is able to save your soul. That soul, that saving is healing. It's not you being born again. It's renewing it. It's restoring him back into a good state. But your heart, the only thing that affects your heart is sin and unbelief. Yeah? Sin and unbelief are the things that what? Affect your heart. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1, Verse 8 and 9. Now, if you've not read today, come please read for me. We're about rounding up the service. Someone who has not spoken or read today, it's your turn. Yes. Yes. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I'll hold it. I'll hold it.
I'm reading the New Living Translation.
Yes, that's fine.
If we claim we have no sin, we are only fool ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness.
Amen. And King James, give me New King James. Go for it. We are rounding up. Go for it. New King James. 1 John 1, 8 to 9.
If yep. we say that we have no sin, mm-hmm. we deceive ourselves, mm-hmm. and the truth is not in us.
Yes.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen. Now, what's the master key to the restoration of a wounded heart? That heart needs to repent and get back in faith. That's why in communion we say repentance and what? And faith. If that heart does not repent, they will hold on to the offense. And the offense will continue to wound their heart. Hallelujah. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have a legitimate right to be offended. In the flesh, you have a right. Someone treated you bad, someone offended you, someone mistreated you. You have the right. But if you're going to walk in God's love, your focus is God and not what? Men. In fact, to overcome the problem, you need God's help, both through wisdom and through favor and through the anointing and through the power. Didn't he part the Red Sea? Yeah? Did he cause the Pharaoh and his army to drown in the Red Sea? Yeah, that's God. That's God doing it. Hallelujah. How do you get God to move in your life? You need faith. Say, I need faith. If I want God to move in my life and in my situation, what do I need most? Faith. What will hinder my faith? Sin. That's why. You repent. Someone has hurt me, yeah? I'm telling you a real life situation. I feel broken. I don't know about you. Someone hurts you really bad, you can feel broken. Yeah? But in the midst of your brokenness, when your heart begins to become bitter, when your heart begins to entertain unforgiveness, when your heart begins to entertain offense, yeah, you need to repent. It's the first step. Repentance is the first step to the restoration of a wounded heart. Let's get up and pray. I understand the time has gone. But like I said, there's a part two, there's a part three. I'm not aiming to just teach you love. Like, okay, I just want to take this first question. I'll take you deep. So that you can, Bible says, when we take root downwards, we'll be able to bear fruit upwards. The greatest tree is the one that the roots have gone deep. They will continue to bear. They will continue to bear fruit. Even when there's drought, they're still bearing fruit because their roots are deep. But talk to God today. We have not really gone deep in love. We're just giving you some basics of love. You know, and is there something I want you to remember? Remember that love, the God kind of love, is a love that flows from God. And it flows through the enlightened heart. And for the love of God to flow through me, that tap must be open. But when my heart, when I allow, your heart cannot be wounded until you allow it. Your soul can be wounded, not your heart. You must allow it first. You must open that door. It's an act of the will. And when I allow my heart to be wounded, it brings a separation between me and God. There is no reason and no feeling that is worth your heart being wounded. Amen? Because your heart is your connection to God. Your soul can be wounded, but it can be mended. It can be healed. But your heart is your connection to God. So let's be practical. Just talk to God today. You know, reflect any way you have allowed offense. You see, to be offended does not mean someone has offended you. It means you have allowed it in. Someone can offend you, but you refuse to allow it in. When you allow it in, you are no longer walking in love. Yeah? You must forgive. And you must trust God. Remember, I didn't just say repentance. It's trust. You want to keep God at the center of that problem. Your greatest guarantee that you overcome is God at the center. If I remove God at the center, yeah? Even if I overcome, it will not bring glory to God. Because you can't bring a glory to God where he's not at, where? The center. So just talk to God today. I know he has spoken to you in different ways. Just like he has spoken to me. Just talk to God. What you want to do now is let go of any offense. Because we want that love to what? To flow. Sometimes one of the problems of love not flowing is your prejudice, your bias. Sometimes there is bias, you know, because of class, maybe because of tribe, maybe because of bad experiences, you know, and you have a prejudice. That can block the love. But today, lay it down at the cross. Crucify it. Let's crucify it at the cross. You know, for me in my life, personal experience, I know that I can't really walk in love without humility. I can't. I've tested, I've seen it. The more I lay it down, the more the love can flow. And it's not flowing because anybody deserved it. It's flowing because I want to honor God. Amen? I'm letting it flow because I want to honor God. That's it. And so if it honors God, it must satisfy me. Even if I'm not getting what I want, I'm trusting God. And he will make things right because he will fight for me. He will make a way where there seems. I believe in miracles, don't you? If we are serving a living God, don't you believe that God can show himself strong on your behalf? You know, when the Egyptians, when they were enslaving and punishing the children of Israel, and they thought they had it in control, God showed up. He broke the back of Pharaoh. He didn't break it immediately. He gave him a chance to repent. He's a good God. So just rededicate yourself. I say, Lord, I let go of every offense that I've allowed into my heart. I let go of every bitterness. I let go of every wrath, every malice. I let go of every unbelief that's come to my heart because I've been offended. I repent of them. I repent. And I say, Father, let your love just flow through me. Just pray that prayer. Lord, Father, I yield to the love of Jesus. I yield to the love of Jesus. Let it flow through me. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. For in Jesus' name, we are praying.